You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
We've been looking at God's new mission that He has placed on this place to learn, love, and lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. And so the last 2 weeks we've looked at a couple of these words and we've learned first who we are, or be reminded of who we are. And that's what we get to do here at Trinity as we worship and pray in community, as we study God's Word together, and as we live out God's will for our lives. We're reminded of who He says we are and what He's done for us, that you are people who was created in God's image. Just like Adam and Eve, who were created in His image, but Adam and Eve were also created in this perfect relationship with Him. But they wanted more than that. They wanted to be like God, and so they did the one thing that God had told them not to do. They took of and ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in doing so, they broke this perfect relationship with God. And that could have been how God left us. Broken, separated from Him. Because that curse has been continued to pass down from generation to generation. But the good news of Jesus, what we learn as we are reminded of who we are, the good news is that God was not content to leave you separated from Him. That He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for you, to take your sins on Himself, to hang on the cross, to breathe His last, and then to take those sins into the tomb. But Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. 3 days later, He rose from the dead, defeating sin, death, and the devil, overcoming your sins. And then as He sent His Spirit, as you are covered in the waters of baptism, as you hear His Word, then you are brought into His family to receive the gifts that He gives, and one gift that is still waiting yet to come. The gift of that new creation where we are brought back into a perfect relationship with Him. And so at Trinity, we learn who God says that we are. And then out of that identity flows our love. As we recognize God's love for us, then that love flows out into those around us. And so we love others because Jesus loved us first. We forgive freely because Jesus has forgiven us, and we serve others with joy. And today we see that out of our identity and out of that love, then, that compels us to lead others to Jesus. And a couple notes on the, because I'll be saying the phrase at Trinity We a number of times, a couple notes on that. First of all, if this is not your home congregation, or if you're not connected to the church or early childhood center, just replace at Trinity We and as a child of God, I. Right? Because what I'm going to say today doesn't, you know, exclude you from doing these things just because you're not part of this community. We'd love for you to be part of this community, and so I'd love to have conversations with you afterwards, but for now, just say, as a child of God, I. But also, and we talked about this a little bit last week, the reminder that at Trinity, we does not mean Pastor Gerber, Pastor Rathke, DCE Casey, and Children's Director Lori. Right? It's us together. And it's not just the church, but the school and the early childhood center, the mission that God has placed in front of us, that at Trinity we learn, love, and lead to reflect the light of Jesus. Paul was talking about that as he wrote to the church in Ephesus. He says, yes, God gave, He gave apostles. He gave prophets, He gave evangelists, He gave shepherds, and He gave teachers. And so he was writing to a church in Ephesus. If he were writing to us today, he could say, yes, God gave pastors and DCEs and children's directors and principals and teachers and aides and early childhood center directors and teachers and staff there. But notice why he gives these people. It's not to do all the things. Right? He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints, to equip you for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. God gives leaders not to do everything for you, but to equip you to do what God has prepared in advance for you to do, so that the whole body would be built up. There are a number of times that Paul uses different body images throughout his different letters to the different churches. And one body imagery that was sticking out in my head as I was preparing for this is me and my body and the rest of this congregation and this ministry over the past few years. Because I was reminded of 3 years ago when I needed a hip surgery. Right? And yes, the whole body is all, we all are different parts, and we all are called to do different things because we are those different parts, but there was a time in my life when my leg could not do what it was supposed to do. And so I had that hip surgery, and it was fixed, but then there was a time of healing. And then it was healed, and then there was a time of strengthening. And through all of that, my arms had to take over for a little bit, where there was another part of my body doing what my leg was meant to do so that the body could move forward and ultimately be strengthened. And it was for a few months until I had knee surgery and then got to go through the exact same process, but yet my arms had been strengthened to be able to do that. Now, I could have just laid at home and done nothing, or other parts of the body could have picked up the slack where it was needed, so that the body could continue to move forward and ultimately be more strengthened to do what God has called me to do. At Trinity, that's the same. You each have a part to play in the body of Christ. And there are times when we need to heal as individuals, or as groups of people, or as ministries. There are times when we need to heal, and then there are times when we need to be strengthened. And so during those times, other parts of the body, other members of the body are called to walk alongside and to help lift them up, so that ultimately, while that healing and that strengthening happens, then the body of Christ can be built up and be stronger for the future. So at Trinity, we means all of us, called to lift up those, but also called to do what we are called to do as you are equipped to do the ministry that God has placed in front of you. And so at Trinity, we learn, love, and lead. And as we lead, we show Jesus to others through our actions. We invest our gifts in God's mission, and we tell others who Jesus is. Jesus, as he's gathered with his disciples, he's talking with them, and it's now called the Sermon on the Mount, but that sermon had a bunch of different topics that he's kind of jumping around to, but in that he says that you should let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And so Jesus, at Trinity, we show Jesus to others through our actions. Your actions matter. Your actions matter in your home. Your actions matter in your workplace or in your school. Your actions matter in your neighborhood, in your community. Your actions matter with everyone that you come in contact to, because every action is an opportunity to let your light shine before others. But what I love about what Jesus said is it's your light that would shine before others, so that everybody could give you praise and glory, not even so that people would give Trinity praise and glory, but let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. One of my favorite pictures of that is when I get to bring someone to the waters of baptism. And after baptizing, I get to grab a candle. And then I light that candle off of the Christ candle, and I hand it to a sponsor because I talk with my hands, and I blow the candle out if I held onto it. But as I'm handing it to the sponsor, I'm telling the parent or I'm telling the individual who is getting baptized to receive this light as a reminder of the light of Jesus that is shining in and through you or in and through your child. And then I know that there are moms who say, great, thank you, I'm going to take that candle and I'm going to put it back in the box that it came into, that it came with, and I'm going to put it in my little basket that's never to be touched again because this was the special candle. And so you know what I do with those families? I say, great, here's a second candle, use it, right? Because I want you to be reminded of your baptisms. I want you to pull it out every year, light it, and be reminded of the light of Jesus that's shining in and through you. So if you don't have a baptismal candle, maybe you weren't baptized at Trinity or at a place that gave you a candle, or you've used it all and there's none left, or your special one is in a box that never gets touched again, come get a candle. I've got plenty of them, and we will buy more. But we want you to light this often. I tell them every year, light it every day, that you would be reminded of the light of Jesus that is shining in and through you. Here's one. Come get it. Not right now. But at Trinity, we show Jesus through our actions. We let God's light shine through us. And also at Trinity, we invest our gifts in God's mission. There's a story that Jesus tells of a manager who gives his people different things before he's leaving for a trip. And he gives one 5 talents, and he gives one 2 talents, and he gives one talent. And just so we're clear, the word talent does not mean the ability to sing and dance on a stage. When Jesus is talking about this, the word talent for them is money. Okay, so he gives them different amounts of money and says, I'm going away, take care of this, I will be back. And after a long time, the master of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, before I move on, I want to note that one had 5 talents, one had 2 talents. Jesus' response to how they used those was the exact same. So it's not about how much, it's about how God's gifts are used, okay? Then we continue. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow, gathering where you scattered no seed, so I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have at least received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. At Trinity, we invest our gifts into God's mission. In this parable, what we see is that the gifts that God gives to you are not meant be buried. They're meant to be used and grown for God's kingdom. Now, yes, Jesus uses money, and he's talking about your money, but more than that. How has God gifted you with time? Some of you, if you're like in my family, that we have kids playing sports in all different ages and different places, our time is a little less right now. But others, maybe you're retired, or maybe, I don't know, sometimes when you retire you have even less time, but right, maybe you have, God has given you the gift of time. How are you investing that time in God's mission? And for those of you that just have a little time, right, again, the amount's not the issue. How are you using it? How are you using the time, that gift that God has given you to invest in his mission? Or maybe God has given you talents, right? Maybe he's given you abilities. Maybe he has given you the ability to lead, to be a great leader. Well, how are you using that gift that he's given you to bring others to Jesus? How are you using the gift that he's given you to be able to speak, to bring others to Jesus? Maybe he has given you musical talent. How are you using that gift to invest in God's kingdom? Or maybe God's given you the gift of hospitality. How do you use that gift to invest in God's kingdom? And then, yes, Jesus is also talking here about money. And God has given us each different resources. And it's not about the amount, but it's about how we are using it. How are you using the resources that God has given you? Are you using it to invest in his mission, or are you using it for what's best for you? Jesus has some really harsh words for the servant who didn't do anything with the talent that Jesus gave him. He said, "You wicked and slothful servant." And so then Jesus takes away what was given to him. And not only that, if we would have kept reading, at the end Jesus says, "Cast him out into the darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus has given us all different gifts. Gifts of our time, gifts of our abilities, gifts of our finances, our resources. How are you using those to invest in God's mission? God's mission here at Trinity, but also throughout the world. And so at Trinity, we invest our gifts in God's mission, and at Trinity, we tell others who Jesus is. One of the very last things that Jesus says to his disciples, they're gathered around, he's getting ready to ascend into heaven to be with the Father, and he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, disciples, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." At Trinity, we tell others who Jesus is. That Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples. Your words matter. And people need to hear Jesus. People need to hear the name of Jesus. People need to hear what Jesus has done. Right, you can learn all of the things that Jesus has done for you, and you can treasure those in your heart. You can love others. You can forgive others. And you can show others Jesus through your actions. You can invest all of your gifts in the growth of God's kingdom. But if all of that happens and people don't hear who Jesus is, they don't hear the name of Jesus, then all of it's for naught. So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to raise your hand if the answer is yes, okay? How many of you know Jesus because someone else told you who he is? Okay? Unless there was some divine revelation where Jesus, like, spoke to you in a dream and went, "Hey there, I'm God. I'm Jesus. Believe in me." Right? Which, if that happened, please come to. I'd love to hear the story. But otherwise, you are here because someone else told you who Jesus is, or someone told you about Jesus. Maybe it was your parents as you were growing up and you never knew a time without Jesus. Or maybe it was later in your life when you were introduced to Jesus. Maybe it was a pastor, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a teacher. But you know Jesus because someone else told you. What if they hadn't? What if it was too awkward? Or what if it's easier just not to talk about it? So what if I ask this question in a year from now? Or in 5 years from now? Or in 20 years from now? Would there be someone new here? Or new in the kingdom of God who knows Jesus because of you? The kingdom grows as we tell people who Jesus is. Right? Praise be to God when that happens, but may we be people who grow the kingdom by sharing who Jesus is with others. So at Trinity, we learn, we love, and we lead, and as we lead, we show Jesus through our actions. We invest our gifts in God's mission, and we tell others who Jesus is. This is what you and I are called to do together, not just the staff, but all of us together. And so I want to ask you, how are you going to lead this week? And how are you going to show others who Jesus is through your actions? How are you going to invest the gifts that God has given you to grow his kingdom? And how are you going to tell others who Jesus is? I can't decide that for you. You are each different parts of the body. You are going to do that in different ways, but every one of you is necessary. Every one of you has been prepared for this coming week where you get to lead others to Jesus. And know that you don't go alone. Right? Jesus, and again, in that Great Commission, some of the last words he said to his disciples, he says, "Surely I will be with you always," to the very end of the age. And he sends his Spirit to be with you, to lead you, to guide you, to go before you, and to be preparing the hearts of those for whom you might lead to Jesus this week. And so I don't know what that's going to look like, but go do it. All right, go learn, love, and lead, because others need to know Jesus too. Amen? Amen.